What's going on?
Hanging down here. This is the first ever episode 68.
We're up to 68.
Gecko Games Cast. Yeah, next week is gonna
be the fuck out of here.
Sexy, you serious? Episode. Yeah.
Oh, 69.
Yeah, the big 6-9.
I don't know if I feel comfortable with that.
So we're gonna rate the Leisure Suit Larry's nice. Games next week.
Come in full banana hammock.
Yeah.
It'll be great. It'll be sexy. It'll be hot.
It'll be fucking.
Yeah, let's talk about all the sexy games out there, like Dead or Alive, Beach Volleyball.
Like,
great game.
Leisure Suit Larry and Pong.
What was that game that we were looking at last time? Was it like Sex with Stalin or something?
Yes, yes. That epic.
Man, that was weird.
These AAA developers, they really got their hands in everything.
They really got their hands in the deep pockets. There's a lot of money being exchanged around.
You know, people who are brave enough to ask the things happening in the creative space. What would it be like to fuck Joseph Stalin?
You know, I appreciated the question, because, you know, who hasn't wondered? But to see it just come to fruition and look like it did take quite a bit of time, because those graphics look pretty upscaled. So, yeah, that's somebody's baby out there.
It looks pretty upscaled, and also at the same time, somehow not.
I was actually for a time, I was a part of like a game dev Discord, and they had this channel that just said NSFW, which for all you innocent folk out there means
not safe,
not
for work.
Suitable for work, meaning ass. I'm WFH, you know, we're all working from home here. NSFW lost the meaning a long time ago,
so you
know?
Took
just
the
don't
laptop,
look it up while you're at work.
You took the laptop up out of the office. Walked on over to the living room, and you were like, all right, now it's safe.
Yeah, I said, you know, like, what's going on here? So I clicked it. There are a lot of people developing some naked porno shit out there with the jiggle physics and...
their favorite.
Yeah, and I was taken aback, of course, because I did not know that there was such a space for this. You know, like...
You knew.
Sure. You get. I mean... I go on Steam right now. I go to new releases because Steam just turned a long time ago. What's first on the new and trending? Suck you, mate.
Yeah.
So.
You got those filters off, right? You're making this happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's for the Steam store?
Oh, yeah, yeah. By default.
There's, oh, I
like,
see it all, man.
Filters on there that so you won't. And I only learned this during our Sex with Stalin episode because I had to go in and turn them off to make it turn up in my search results.
Oh yeah, man. I got everything here. Like, I'm not filtering anything. I want to see it all. I want to see the shovelware. I want to see it. Look, there's even hentai students love puzzle. And
they
my favorite about these games, or just any of these in the media space, the first thing I like to do is just go straight to the reviews.
Naturally.
Because I just like reading it. And every time, like, say for Suck You Mate, I'll go into here. You know, you got some busty people in the thumbnails. All right, let's see what the reviews say.
See what this is about.
They just say, if you played this before, if you played a previous game, you'll appreciate this game. They're actual reviews.
Is this the same sort of like getting your jollies, like when your brother used to stream Honey Pop?
Yeah, but you know, it's like that was all for fun. And we would just play it and, quote unquote for fun. And,
we're just having a giggle, mate.
No, well, he was just playing it a lot of the time. And I crack up at those games because, yeah, Honeypot's a unique example. But I cracked up at those games because they would just be like, oh, hey, can you help me, like, carry my books to class?
Yeah.
And you'll be like, oh, yeah, sure. And then the immediate escalation to that is, hey, I'm going to give you a naked picture of myself.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, wow, like, things are escalating.
Thanks
pretty,
for taking my books.
Pretty quickly.
No problem, Saki-senpai.
Yeah, so that game was hilarious. But my point is, with a game like that, something that's just so weird, you'll get a legitimate review on the construction of the game, the difficulty of the puzzles. They'll be like, hey,
yeah.
You know, this one's actually not a bad game in this space, and there is an audience out there for these. So I'm just saying, Sex with Stalin, on the surface, seems like some man's sick, wet dream. But I'm sure there's going to be an audience where people will look at this with a critical lens and say, you know, the sound of Stalin's cheeks, they just didn't resonate with me today. And you're not going to want to see that.
You don't want to get some better physics in on that.
And I'm always just surprised, is what I'm saying. So for the 69th episode, not only will I keep it clean, because I don't want to expose anybody else to this kind of smut, but I do want to encourage people, do not look up not suitable for work things on your work time. It has already been proven that... it has already been proven that on Zoom calls, people forget this rule, and they expose themselves, so you don't want that to happen.
Yeah, that's what happened in the situation you're referring.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
that happened. Did you read about how that happened?
Yeah, I did.
It was bad.
Hey, this guy takes his dick out on Zoom calls.
Oh, well, I didn't say that, but yeah, I mean, that did happen. And everybody was flabbergasted, so,
yeah.
You know. Anyways, hey, how's it going, Rich?
It is going, if the stars have properly aligned, by this time next week, I'll be able to share my thoughts on Demon's Souls with you.
And where did you buy it, Rich? Where did you get a PlayStation 5?
At Kohl's. You might know...
Ah, yes, the reputable video game distributor chain Kohl's.
Yeah, if you live on the East Coast, you might know Kohl's as a, I guess, slightly upper-scale department store?
It's a clothing store. It's a clothing department store, yeah.
I mean, it's a department store. They got a lot of appliances
too. You know what, though? You know what? And this is not to knock the credit of Kohl's. I wouldn't call it upscale.
I think it's upscale
pretty affordable
compared to certain things.
Oh, okay, yeah, like, if you're talking about a thrift store compared to this,
yeah,
and yeah, Kohl's is like the middle class yeah, department store. I enjoy it.
Yeah, 100%. It feels like a step above, like, it feels like it has sort of the kind of selection you'd want at, like, a thrift store or something, but, like, a cut above that, I guess, is a good way to put it.
And I love Kohl's. You can get anything there. You know how many times you can just buy clothes at a discount? You can show up at the party, you're looking fresh, everyone just goes, that's Saint Laurent. I go, nah, it's Kohl's.
Here's the beautiful part, Eric. I've seen from the emails people sent back, even if, and I won't get too into it on this podcast, a lot of people have reported their Kohl's orders have been canceled. Even if they cancel your order, they let you keep that nearly $200 in Kohl's cash.
And Kohl's cash is also a great, great, great thing. It's just money for Kohl's to come back and spend more.
Yeah.
And they know you want it because the deals are so good. You can get a whole wardrobe there for a budget.
Mm-hmm. You can.
Looking nice. I still have my sweaters from there.
You can get yourself a nice watch. Nice sport coat.
You can get
a
suit. Get some shoes. I remember I got these canvas shoes. They look like... I
love a good canvas shoe.
Yeah, they're just nice. They're like this dark blue canvas shoe. And let me tell you, my most complimented shoe ever.
That's where I get my my staple, my go-to, those suede boots that I'm always buying.
Yeah, always nice. And people think, like, oh, what is that? Like, where'd you get that from? It looks expensive.
Who are you wearing?
And you're like, yeah, and I just go, yeah, you know, yeah, it is expensive. And it was.
You fucking
jerk.
And
I think, like, I got it, like, $30. And I was like, hell yeah.
You have to ask. You can't afford it.
If you have to ask, you can't afford these. And then they just kick them up. But I'm glad that you were able to get a PS5 from Kohl's. If you had told me that earlier, because I was unaware, I would have called that a big fucking scam, but who's to say?
I called our friend Vinny, and he picked up the phone groggy at 2 in the morning, and I go, get a PS5, go to Kohl's right now, and he goes, it's 2 a.m., and I'm like, the website, you buffoon.
I give you respect for even calling him out of the blue like that.
Yeah, I knew he was trying hard. Yeah. I wasn't going to leave him in the wind.
I feel that. Well, I hope it goes through, and then, yeah, you can enjoy some Demon Souls with me.
Yeah. That'll be pretty dope. I, unfortunately, to get this bundle, had to rebuy a game I've already bought on the PS4.
Well, hey, if you want to give it away, it's free. I don't, you know.
I kind of don't, because now I have the remaster of the original, too.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. What are you going to do? You know, that makes sense. Well, I've continued to just play Demon's Souls on it.
Yeah.
I'll admit... On the PlayStation 5. You want to know something I found that was weird?
Tell me.
I think then,
we're here, we're talking about PS5. Tell me about it.
On the media side, like the apps that you get?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty damn cool because, you know, you could, you can kind of move between all the different apps pretty simultaneously and seamlessly. The PlayStation doesn't have quick resume like Xbox does, but I have to say, like, if I go on idle mode for Demon's Souls and I go to watch, like, Netflix, I just go back to Demon's Souls and loads up immediately. So I think it just has an idle state to it.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn impressive. But
have you?
There are some media apps that are on the PlayStation 4 still that are not on PlayStation 5 yet. I just think that's such a strange.
I think it's a case by case basis with the company
and
whether they've had access long enough to be making it. What I wanted to ask you actually is because I've been seeing people post a ton of videos. Have you engaged with any of that stuff that seems to be built into the first party games to like track like game content in game.
Are you talking about like the helpful hints or any of those?
Yeah, but like they've been showing. I've been seeing a lot of people doing it with Spider-Man actually, where they'll go into like, basically you can see what quests and for what trophies you have left to get in the game, and mm-hmm. it'll tell you, oh, you know, this quest takes about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Like to give you an idea of.
Oh, what, that kind of thing. Yeah, okay, so I got to be real with you. Right, if it is, I didn't see it for Demon's Souls yet, I didn't use it yet.
Yeah, Demon's Souls seems like a tough one to do stuff like that with.
I didn't even understand how. I would have been shocked if it did have that in that game, and I think it does for some things, but I don't think it has like any straight-up helpful guides or anything like that.
The thing that I watched a video of Patrick Klepek doing it in Spider-Man, and the thing that shocked me actually was in Spider-Man, he pulls it up, and he's like, okay, here's a list of the quests I have to complete, like the side content. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, this one says it takes 10 minutes, and he clicks on it, and in-game it teleports him to the mission start location.
Yeah, I think it's very contingent on the type of game that you're playing,
like,
with it, too.
Oh, yeah, I think that's 100% also only going to be a thing you see in first-party Sony titles.
Oh, for sure. I can't imagine anybody dealing with that bullshit.
Yeah, no, not at all.
It just seems like a lot, unless it's dealt in-house, and it is cool. I dig it. I think it just shows the capability of just how powerful the goddamn thing is in terms of the load time too. It's like it's instantaneous,
and
it's pretty insane.
With these weird tech people put out their crazy wishes, I actually saw somebody tweet one out that I'm like, oh, you know what, I'd go all in on that. They're like,
yeah,
have Insomniac make a Daredevil game set in their Spider-Man universe that makes full use of 3D audio and haptic feedback on the DualSense.
I would absolutely adore that. If I knew that they would be cool enough to do that, I would adore it. I forgot, actually, speaking of studios, somebody just acquired the 007 license. I'm forgetting
it
who.
Is IO Interactive.
IO, that's yes, why. Okay.
The makers of Hitman.
Yes, okay. And that's pretty cool.
They say they're doing a Bond origin story.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, I'll talk about that in a little bit, because
yeah.
I love James Bond games. Demon's Souls, though, I don't know.
Tell
update from
it.
My side, that's all I've been playing. Gotta be real with you. And it's been fun. There are many. The one thing that I always wish they just did was improve the gameplay in some areas. Like, the game's not infallible, of course. It's one of the best, but it's not flawless.
I was reading, and some of the stuff they chose to not fix, like, perplexes me.
Well, it may have just not been their job. I just thought it was weird how,
well,
like, From didn't even come in
to
consult do that.
Or something.
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird, just because a lot of the same things that the game has you trek through, on the surface, it's kind of like, okay, it just feels dated, because it's not, there's a purpose for a lot of it, so, at the time, because of the limitations of the console too, and also just for general design choices and direction, but they were locked to the capabilities of the PS3, so certain things, like even say the Dragon God fight, for example. It's always, I think I bring this up literally once an episode. And
you love the Dragon God.
No, because they kept it the same. That's literally the only gripe I'll ever have with any of it. And I think it was probably just because you probably couldn't handle a boss at that scale at the time. But why
now,
wouldn't you just want
with
to
this processing power, they could definitely do more with it.
Yeah, I just thought it was weird that you wouldn't spend the money to add some additional consultation or some dev work. But of course, it would cost a shit ton. But
also, I think they were probably playing it safe. Like, you run the risk of offending somebody's fucking sensibilities when you do shit like that. You know how the internet works.
Yeah, which is odd. But overall, it's still a solid game.
The thing that annoyed me
good.
The most, and as somebody who hasn't even played it yet, but based on my reading, I don't remember if I'm getting the name right. This what's that fucking, like, system with the whole black and white thing? You know what I'm talking about?
It's the synchronous.
It's something about sync. But where there's like kind of a scale, it was really difficult to change even in the original.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, like the layout of the world,
yeah,
where it's like it's either full black or full white.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about like a section of the game for
like, no, like I'm talking about. Apparently, they didn't edit it at all, and people have a feeling they're going to do what they ended up doing on the PS3 was they'd have weekends where like, okay, this is so difficult to change that for this weekend the entire world is all synced to white. So now you can get done these things you need to get
the world
done.
State.
Yeah. It was altering the world state was like this weird, obscure, incredibly difficult thing, and apparently they did nothing to make that more obvious or more attainable.
Yeah, and again, it's just like a weird. They clearly were just hired to do an interface job.
Oh,
just
and I'm put sure they did a great job with
coat
that.
Of paint. Oh, they did. I like it.
Bloodborne.
But yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, you can't open notice sometimes where you're just like, that's okay. Like I'm trekking through it, and I play this game with like the lights out. I get into it, and even then, like, it's still taking it. The game itself, unless you're brand new to it, takes a little bit for you to kind of get into it because you're just kind of going through the motions of the early stuff. So, I'm still just trudging through, and it's still okay, but the game really shines like towards the middle end part of it.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting to me is I think this is also be a cool entry point for people who really never got into Souls either, because this really was the proto-Souls anyway. So, you know, like, there's no harm in this being your first one.
Yeah, for sure. And, I think it's just a blast. I think it's a great thing that they just have it as a title for launch. So I haven't played Spider-Man or any of that shit, so...
You'll get there. Good. You'll get there, buddy.
I feel it, and I like it.
Since I am going to have that physical copy of Spider-Man, I mean, I'm going to want it back to replay the remaster, but I'll probably just let you borrow that since it's a physical anyway.
I'm not interested in giving things back. I'm sorry.
Well, you got to give me back my judgment. You got to give me back my judgment first.
You heard what I said. I played for keeps.
Eric, please, judgment.
I'm kidding. Actually, I know. I literally have it like on a pod.
The funny part is, like, I got a code for that game after the fact, so I have it digital.
Judgment?
Yeah.
We'll just give it to you back physical.
So I already have it digital.
Tell me more about Yakuza. I want to know how it's going.
I'm continuing to play Yakuza Like a Dragon. I'm about 25 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at chapter 9 out of 15, I believe I read on the web.
So there's 15 total.
Yeah.
Not bad.
This game's still so fucking great, man. I'm discovering so much as I go. Yakuza has always been like full of these great sub stories and like subplots and expansive mini games. I lost myself for about 4 hours in the business management sim. And for anyone playing this game, I then learned there's a missable party member that you can only get through doing enough of the business management sim.
Interesting. I kind of like when there's secrets like that.
Yeah, that is, you need to at least hit the top 100. In the business management sim, and you get a for me at this point, it was my fifth party member, who I then did some research to find is the only missable party member in the game.
Wow.
And I was like, hey.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to do my darndest.
To try to get?
No, I got her.
Oh, good.
I made it happen. I've also been enjoying the fuck out of, there's another really investment heavy side story that revolves around Dragon Kart, a in Yokohama City Mario Kart spoof.
Okay.
That is insanely fun and filled with weird fucking characters.
It's like half the time whenever I would play a game like that that's just chock full of other things, I'd be like, where did you find the time to just put all this other stuff?
Yeah, and
here?
Like, none of it's like, it's not like this is a game that would compete with a Mario Kart proper, but for what it is, it's pretty fucking entertaining.
That's why I'm always surprised at these devs whenever they do it. They literally, like, bleed their heart and souls to make the game. Like, they have it. And then there's just everything else that you just could do if you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, look at all that TLC.
Yeah, I've been running for hours through these sub-stories. Sub-stories are also a key point in unlocking a lot of the Poundmate selection, the summon spells of the game,
mm-hmm.
Which are all fucking hilarious. So I've been doing my best to get as many of those as I can. Combat still feels great, unlocking lots of new jobs, and I just finished a big boss fight up a few minutes ago, actually, for the end of Chapter 8. And, god damn, this game is just so fucking good. Not that I was...
Are you going to be sad when it's over?
I'm going to be sad when it's over, but just, like, hopeful for...
Don't be sad when it's over, be glad because it happened.
Oh, so true. Also, weird story came out about that game in an interview with the devs, where it seems like the turn-based combat thing... came as a switch to the game only like 6 months before it launched.
Mm-hmm.
They did an April Fool's joke originally in Japan where like it was supposed to be an April Fool's joke when they said that it was turn-based combat. And then everyone responded...
Really? Was it originally?
It was supposed to be, is what they claim. And everybody responded really positively to it. So they
shifted gears. And then they were like, yeah, surprise, that is. You think they were just gauging to see what the reaction would be? They're like, hey, guys, like, April Fool's, like, it's turn-based. And they just go, wow, this is great.
That's basically what happened. They're like, wow, what a cool, nifty idea. And they're like, oh, God.
Imagine if it just went south. They're like, are you kidding me? And they just go, it's delayed. It
actually always reminds me of Disney and the MCU had a similar moment to that. If you remember when they were unveiling Captain America 3, the original logo they unveiled as an April Fool's joke was Captain America Serpent Society, and the response was actually overwhelmingly positive.
The Serpent Society.
They're like, oh, they're doing the Serpent Society. And I guess Kevin Feige was like, what the fuck? They like that. Like,
no, you're supposed to hate this shit, as always. And then anytime it's ever real. But I remember Yakuza was also getting flack after the fact for being turn-based. A lot of people were saying they wouldn't know if they'd like it or not.
Well, yeah, no. And I think it worked out pretty good, all things considered. Like, they were pretty blasé about it time in the sense of saying when they got a decent positive response, basically, he's like, listen, we made 6 mainline games for this series. Sometimes just to keep yourself invested, you got to shake it up and try something different. If it doesn't work and people don't like it, we will go back on the next entry.
I mean, I'm just surprised that it's a fucking hit. And I'm not talking about, like, surprised, like, I didn't think they could do it. I'm just surprised that it's being received so well, and the amount of TLC that they put into this is so immense that it looks like the hypest thing this year. I'm not even kidding. It's, like, it just hits all the same notes, and they were able to genre swap, like, at the top of the hat, yeah, and at the tip of a hat, and just do it.
And everything else,
it's like, what's the next thing that these guys are gonna do? Because it just doesn't seem like they can miss.
Yeah, that's
so
exactly it. It's like, do they, like, they could do another one like this and it'll be a hit. There's so many directions they could go with it. I think they should definitely keep this combat system if the next game is a continuation of Ichiban Kasuga's story.
Yeah, to keep the character. Yeah, yeah.
Because the idea of, like, why combat is this way is so tied to Ichiban as a character.
Well, plus, because, you know, they need to, character-wise, and we were talking about this last time, you gotta swap it up eventually, too. I mean, from what you've told me, from someone who's played all the rest from the previous iteration of it, that story is done,
yeah,
for the most part.
They did a really good job with it, and people love Kazuma Kiryu. He's a fantastic character, but they really tied a bow on his story with Yakuza 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense. So now we need some new blood. And if this one, since it's being received so well, yeah, whatever, just make a sequel.
Yeah.
Make it happen. Do the same exact shit, but just put in
exactly
the same,
like,
amount of stuff.
I mean, they didn't call it Yakuza 7 for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. It's like main, which I actually give more respect for that than anything, too, because you know what? It's right there. You could just make it something else. Yakuza subtitle here, and then it's just a side thing, and I actually appreciate that they don't. I hate when movies do it. I hate when games do it. I hate when anybody does that.
That's why I think I had a really
good, make it easy.
I had a really great appreciation for Judgment, because it would have been really easy for them to call that game Yakuza Judgment and just like ride
just for
the
name
wave
brand
of the franchise name, but they were like, well, this isn't a Yakuza game. It takes place in that universe, in that city, but it's not a Yakuza game.
Well, yeah, and they do it. I mean, the movie, everybody does it for, like, 2 reasons, at least from what I can tell. One, it's for familiarity, obviously. Like, if you put the name in there, the main game line, and then you put subtitle, okay, people are going to buy it because they go, oh, it's Yakuza, whatever. Yeah. But then also, on the other hand, like, they don't put numbers there sometimes because then they think it's too confusing or overwhelming for consumers to be like, oh, this is fucking 15, Final Fantasy 15, what about the other 14? What do I have to do about that? So, I don't know. I'm of the mind where just slap a number next to it, let me figure it out as a smart consumer, and let's see what happens. But unfortunately,
yeah,
it doesn't always work out like that.
Does not always,
so we'll see what happens,
work out in their favor with that way. But
no, like, but these guys just never. I got to give the devs credit for this one, leading all the way up to creative director. They don't give a fuck. They just do whatever they want to do. This is just like Suda 51. I always give them such respect as a studio because they don't give a shit, and they just do whatever they want to do. Like, Kamiya, he just does whatever the fuck they want to do with Platinum Games, because whatever feels good, they'll do it.
For themselves, which
yeah,
usually
for
results
sure
in the most polished product, because you can see how passionate the team is about what they're doing.
Yeah, and say what you will about Wonderful 101, because it was a broken mess in a lot of different cases. Okay, but they always, like, water off a duck's back. They just do it, say, okay. And they just try to make something else the next time, and they're good. And they just keep making them. That's why I usually, a Platinum Games or Suda 51 or any of those, I usually just buy them if they're remotely interesting with the setting and the story.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Even if it's going to be like a 4 to 5 hour experience, which it tends to be most of the time, I know it's at least going to be a pretty unique 4 to 5 hour experience compared to me playing like some other mainline AAA game. Like No More Heroes for perfect example. Like there is still no game right now that's kind of like that.
There's great,
and that's got to be worth something. Same thing for Yakuza. I mean, I haven't played them, so I can't speak to them. But from whatever I've seen or heard, they always have this very unique place in the world and the space, and you can't replicate that. There's no similar games that kind of touch upon the same kind of hilarity or comedic timing or severity of setting.
I feel like when people were first selling me on that series like years ago, a lot of people would try and sell it as like, it's Japanese Grand Theft Auto, and then you play, you're like, that doesn't begin to describe what this game is.
Yeah, from whatever you've always told me, because I thought it was just, honestly, not even GTA, but just like a beat 'em up that had some story elements in between, and no, it's not. It's like, that's almost insulting to say it's just that, because it has so much character depth in it, and it'll just take you for a wild ride in each game.
I mean,
no matter,
it can always tell you, like, it shows you how much people cared about these games and how much of a push they were trying to put behind them when they originally launched in the U.S. and actually flopped. Go back to the launch on the PS2 of Yakuza 1, and the voice talent they were getting for that original English dub they did the first time around, Mark Hamill was Majima. Like,
which is insane.
They were getting voice talent to try and back this thing.
It's crazy. And now, we're on, what is this, the 7th iteration?
This is the 7th mainline.
No. Yeah, this is the 7th mainline game here. It's still doing gangbusters.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's, what a great success. I'm so happy for them. It's great successes. I'm only jealous that I can't play it right now on the PS5, but at least I can play it on PC if I want.
Yeah, the PC version's great. PS5 version will not be out until March, which sucks.
I'm kind of grateful.
I mean, that's just the thing. If you've got a lot on your plate, it gives you a good, like, be like, well, I'll just wait for that version, but I'm enjoying the fuck out of playing it on Steam.
Well, I gotta say, I gotta give a, without shilling too hard for PlayStation, I gotta say, the PlayStation Plus collection that they have, I mean, I know it's like the greatest hits of all the games they already have, but it's pretty beneficial.
Yeah, that
I love
seems
it.
Handy.
I just re-download Bloodborne because I'm like, yeah, why not? Just play it again. Like, okay.
That's a good
and
game.
Crash is there too. I'm like, oh yeah, Crash, I already beat it.
Oh, but, Crash is on there? Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't even.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, it's just there.
Cool.
And I was thinking, like, whoa. I was like, I didn't even see that there.
Yeah, I'd imagine that will grow or alter, and that's awesome. There's great value there.
It is. It's, and you still have your God of War. You still have The Last of Us. You still have a lot of the other games. You're just thinking, like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
And
you have Uncharted 4 if you ever just want to play it again.
It's funny because I always have
whatever.
Those things in the back of my head where, like, you're like, oh, yeah, God of War's in there. And I'm like, I kind of want to see how that runs on this thing.
Yeah, I literally, because I was cleaning out my apartment today, and I found, like, a lot of the disc versions of these games, though, like, say, God of War, Bloodborne, all that, and I was like, okay, I'm selling these, like, I don't need these.
Yeah,
they're on the system, like, I could just get it. It's pretty damn sweet. And also, just because the PlayStation 5 in general, like, it has this weird thing with having a disc and then having the digital game available, like, it clashes in some weird way, and it tells you you have to have one or the other. It's kind of
so, basically, if you're putting, like, the disc in, you have to uninstall the digital version?
Yeah, it was Modern Warfare, big example, even though the game is compatible. What's the word? The game is a compression
wild,
nightmare.
Doesn't, like, the PS4 and the PS5, don't they, like, basically fully install the game once you put a disc in?
And that's the thing, which is why I'm such a big pain in the butt. When I transferred a lot of the data from the PlayStation 4 to the 5, some of these were disc-based, of course. Well, most of them were, which is why I got the disc version. So Call of Duty was one of them. And it was, I don't know if I was doing this incorrectly. I just do whatever the system tells me, because whatever. I'm not going to diagnose this. And it blatantly just goes, oh, hey, like, you put the disc in for the PlayStation. We're going to download, like, the downloaded version that you have right now is going to be, it has to be re-downloaded for the disc version. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, this makes zero sense to anything. And I just had to re-download the whole, like, 300, 250 gig package again, which was all day.
Super fun.
It was fun. Oh, it was fantastic. So now, my point is to this, is that when it comes to the physical media that I have, I mean, ironically enough, I'm getting rid of some of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, but it's because I don't see the point in,
as you know,
having the collection, then saying, like, oh, you can't have the collection anymore. You have to do the disc, and I'm like,
it clashes in a weird way. As you know, I recently got rid of a lot of a lot of clutter and stuff. Would recommend.
Yeah, no, after you were talking to me about it, I literally am, like, having a fire sale. I just had, like, a fire sale of cleaning, because I started cleaning some other things, and then more things arose, and I'm just thinking, I have a lot of shit, and I could just sell it, so.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy part to me is, like, and a good way to get past that mental block I found, because I, like, look at stuff and be like, I don't know if I want to part with this. Like, my brother-in-law told me, he's like, just look at everything individually and be like, what is the number that makes me get rid of this?
Or even just think, like, are you going to feasibly... My barometer for a lot of those, like, whether it's a board game or...
Does this
or
spark
even,
joy?
Like, a lot of my comic books, like, I have, like, the big fucking tomes and...
I have a
and,
huge stack of, like,
yeah, like, I've read them
right next to me, and I'm like, I don't know if I should bother holding on to these.
Yeah, and a lot of them have their nostalgia value to myself, but, like, I looked at them, and I read them once, and I was like, honestly, like, was this a banger enough where I'm going to read this again in the next 2 years? And I hadn't already, so...
Yeah.
Probably not, so it's okay. You could just sell it for face. And I actually like, I was talking to my brother about this the other day, I love getting all this, like, pop culture-y nerd stuff a lot, because you know what? When the time comes to resell them, you're either going to sell it at face value, or you're going to sell it a little bit above face value, depending on what it is.
Yeah, typically.
And that's awesome. It's like, What a burden, like, what a burden that's lifted off of you. Obviously, the video games, they have depreciative value, of course, but, like, your books or, you know, your little tchotchkes or your collectibles, I mean, they have something to them, and it's crazy.
Whenever I look at the comics now at this point, I keep, like, tormenting myself. I'm like, because I'm trying to decide if I want to actually bother going physical on The Last Ronin now that that started.
I know. I literally, after getting rid of this mountain of stuff, I was thinking, man... I'm done. Like, I'm gonna, like, cause there's no, when I was moving here even, I put all my stuff into the boxes.
Yeah.
And, they were concrete bricks. Like, just, and they were just books. And in my mind's eye, back a few years ago, when I was just buying this without any judgment whatsoever, criticism for myself, I was like, I'm just going to have a grand fucking library one day with all these books, and it's going to be rad, and I'm going to be cool, I'm going to be sipping some whiskey and just being like, man, what a great Spider-Man book instead of the latest fucking Obama novel. And then I thought about it, and I was like, well, that's dumb. It's like, I don't want that.
Part of me still wants to be the physical media guy when the world ends. Like, he's the guy you go to.
Yeah, but, like, to what end?
It's maddening.
I dug up, like, a Kindle the other day, and I was thinking, wow, digital. Digital everything.
Digital's cool.
That being said,
I still bought the PlayStation with the disc drive.
Yeah, well, I bought it for the disc drive too. But you know what? The reason why is because occasionally I think I come across a 4K disc of, like, a favorite movie or something. I'm talking, like, just a movie that I know is not going to break any backs on terms of
I buy
having
the
it.
Back to the Future trilogy, like, every 4 years when they're like, now it's in 20K!
I can't care. I just watch Lord of the Rings. I don't even give a shit. It's fine. 4K? Okay.
I actually, it's crazy you say that. I recently, during an Amazon flash sale, bought
the... Did you get the 4K collection?
Yeah, baby. Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
How much did you get it for?
It was a flash sale. I think I got it for, like, 80-something.
Unbelievable. It's such a good price. Yeah, but... For those, like, yeah, I'll dip a little. The only piece of media that I ever have, like, quadruple dipped on in my life, and we're talking about things to view, it's not Donkey Kong Country. It's just Akira. And
I
have the Akira books, and then I also have the hardcover books, and then I got the Blu-ray DVD, and then they're coming out later this year, late December, with the 4K version, and I'm just buying
I've been
that
keeping
too,
an eye on the 4K. I almost, last time I was in Boston, which would be right before the pandemic really kicked off, I was in the Newbery Comics in the Boston Commons, and I almost bought the Akira soundtrack on vinyl that was there, but I was really trying to limit my spending while I was away. I'm going to dive down a rabbit hole here, because I was really...
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's a conversation to have, I'm telling you.
I listened to a podcast, a Retronauts podcast recently, where they were talking about Akira. And I guess I never really knew this. They talked about how Akira was actually incredibly unpopular in Japan. And that's why it got a big push in the West.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
I didn't know that.
As far as a Japanese audience goes, like, they did not like it at all. And, like, Bob Mackie and the guys in there were talking about how actually the first time they went to Japan years ago, they were trying to find Akira stuff. And you could not find Akira stuff because nobody in Japan gave a shit about Akira.
Well, now it's one of the biggest things, though.
But it's still way bigger in the U.S. than it is in Japan.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because at the time the U.S. hadn't seen anything like it.
Yeah, I think what was coming over was so limited at the time. And U.S. audiences just kind of gravitated towards it.
The only other thing I would ever kind of get at this point, that's when it comes to anime, physical, would just be Ghost in the Shell, 4K, and that's it.
Yeah, that'd be
I think I'd be good there. But anyways, that's just a little look down the physical media lane. You put Spider-Man here, yeah, but I know you beat Spider-Man, so did you just continue?
Beating it last time, yeah. And I was going for the Platinum because it's not too tough. But you do have to finish New Game Plus for the Platinum, and I stopped because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it on the PS5.
Oh.
Like, I want to get that 60 FPS for this next, you know, if I got to replay the whole thing to get the Platinum, I might as well play through it on the new hardware to compare and contrast.
I see. Good. In general, though, that's all I've ever played. That's literally it. I don't even play anything anymore.
Yeah, I've been a slower week for me. Been mostly Yakuza. I've put like Assassin's Creed and stuff on the back burner until I'm through Yakuza.
Uh-huh.
Just trying to be hyper focused a little bit.
Hyper focused. Well, at least in the world of gamey games, I know World of Warcraft's coming out their expansion this week.
Yes. Shadowlands?
Yeah, and I was, like, really interested to see just how the game was performing after all this time.
Just because the last, and, like, two expansions, not super well-received.
No, I mean, I think Legion...
I played Legion. Legion was fine.
Legion was the one that actually saw a resurgence, I think, in the player base.
Because I played during Legion, so that's definitely fair to say.
Yeah.
Battle for Azeroth, people did not like...
Yeah, I want to say for a moment, just to make sure I got this right. Yeah, that one sucked. And but I was just really curious to see how the game was doing, just because, yeah, after all these expansions, well, I was like, how has it been performing? And
not great.
I mean, it's actually been doing well.
Well, I guess, like, the pre-patch is dropped and stuff, and that's definitely going to... You're going to see people come back.
Yeah, and there was this article... from a game industry biz that where the EP John Haidt was basically like, hey, why should we ever end this?
You shouldn't, if you're printing money.
Because it's literally just it keeps continuing to print money, and the core base is just always going to be there. And yeah, sure, you're going to have to progressively change the game over time as they have, but... this is pretty evident that you could have this game just last the test of time for as long as it could and still just make a profit.
The thing is, I've always wondered, like, what is the point where you need to say, like, we need a new framework? Like, but I've been asking that question for 10 years.
I mean, it's almost been two... We're 4 years away from this game being a two-decade-old MMO.
That is still going... one of the biggest MMOs in the world.
Indisputably, it actually, like, you have every other MMO, even Final Fantasy 14, which could be argued as, like, the second best, at least in my opinion. I'd argue that, but
I mean, content wise I'd say it's better right now, has been for a while.
Well, at best, even with that being said too, and I agree, it's just at best those just kind of exist in the same sphere without ever, you know, being the best.
Yeah,
like they'll never be the best, even if their content or their general structure is better at this point, or at least a little bit more progressive than what WoW currently has. Warcraft's always going to be the top. And I think eventually they'll probably make a World of Warcraft 2, and it will probably, they'll see another resurgence that just prints more money.
Well,
and
that's just, I think it, that would, like, be, I feel like at a certain insane point you have to go, okay, the next expansion isn't an expansion. We need to totally build the framework. And I think the important thing to do when you are quote-unquote doing that is come up with a way for your existing player base to almost seamlessly transfer all of their stuff into the World of Warcraft 2.
Imagine, and this just comes down to straight up just what you enjoy and what passion, imagine playing WoW, like the original, for, let's just say, a decade, and you play that all your life and that's what you know, And then eventually, you know, the expansions come out, you stop playing it because you're not really into what they're doing. And then they do WoW Classic, which was something that they didn't want to do in the beginning. They were like, this is a fucking waste. And it then again sees a resurgence. So imagine you've been playing that for like a decade, dive back into WoW Classic, and then you play WoW Classic for like another 5 to 10 years. That's so insane to me.
It's 100% insane. As somebody who dove into WoW Classic, that's briefly, passion. And I was like, why are we doing this?
That's passion. Well, yeah, well, that's exactly why I didn't want to do it. I remember, I always have the same type of reaction now. And this is just toward video games at this point, because you find that you just have less time. Your priorities change for a lot of it, of course, as you grow up. But in the hobby itself, it's like for MMOs, every time I would ever get into the MMO again, like Legion, I also jumped on the bandwagon just for like a month or two. I think it gave you like a month of the subscription when you bought the game. So I was like, okay, play it. We'll see how it goes. You're probably not going to play this the same way. Oh, it was great. I loved it. But I did the same exact thing I always do with Final Fantasy 14, which is I go on, play it for the story, just like play it through as like an actual game.
Exactly what I did.
Like, you know, don't really I take part in the MMO aspects, but I'm not like really doing a lot of that stuff. Yeah. And after the story is done, I just go, oh, okay, like, yeah, sure, the raids aren't out yet or anything, but right now this is kind of its natural conclusion. Yeah, like, I guess I'll catch it on the completion note there.
I never have the urge to, like, hang out and grind.
Yeah, or, like, even if, you know, the end game, like, it finally comes out a couple of months later, because that's what they do it in waves. I literally just ask myself, like, am I going to wait for that? And the answer is usually no. And I just say, oh, I'll just catch up with it when it happens. And that way you just know, out of interest. So that's just that. And that's the same for all MMOs. So on this note, this game could continue forever. I know it could, because I know the player base is so devout that they would just keep buying it, probably even pass it on to their kids in a certain world. And the thought of that, where this game will persist through the test of time for at least probably another decade, It's so insane to me. We're in a gen right now where current consoles, graphics, performance, it's like completely light years ahead of what WoW currently offers, yet WoW as a system still shines so brightly on the money-making machine that it doesn't need to do anything
shocking, like, when people bring up WoW and they're like, you think I could run that on my laptop? And I'm like, the LCD display on my dishwasher could run WoW.
And it's true. And I used to remember how wild it was when I was younger, like, when I was even like 12 when I first got into it, and I needed to at least have a better PC than what I had. Now, yeah, what they sell, it's like, no, you can play that thing on anything, which is fine. That's the way they want it.
Stuff out of the box can
typically play. It boggles my mind. But I always think, like, what's Blizzard as a company? Like, they did Overwatch, huge. Like, I always wonder, what are they going to do afterward? They already got rid of StarCraft.
They're doing Overwatch
Warcraft
too,
as an ARPG was a fucking fluke. A flop, because they had their mod controls regulations.
Yeah, to be fair, Blizzard is...
What are they going to do?
Saying on the decline seems wrong. They're drastically changing. A ton of the old guard is leaving.
For that new company.
I cannot remember the name of it right now, but it is founded by...
Blizzard 2.
Hold on, I'm gonna look this up.
They just call it, like, Snowstorm. Or Maelstrom.
Maelstrom.
Maelstrom Studios.
It was founded by Blizzard co-founder, Mike Morhaime. Dreamhaven, that is the name of this. It is a multi-studio endeavor. I believe they have 3 studios right now who are all working on different projects.
I'm so excited to see what they come up with, because I just know that regulation from Activision Blizzard was like, hey, we're gonna keep doing what we're doing because it keeps printing us money. So
the thing for me about I should be concerned about the way Blizzard is going is how Diablo 4 turns out.
Yeah, and you know what, I'm also gonna be keeping eyes on that, because I still don't have Battle.net anymore. So
yeah,
this actually, for whatever reason, makes me come back to that, I'd be interested, but my hopes aren't really too much out there.
Yeah, they're not very high.
It looks like great. It looks, that one trailer looked fantastic. Yeah, but
I'm interested to see. Who's to say at the moment?
Anything could look fantastic. That's why I always give Valve such credit as a company, because they just support whatever the hell you want to do.
Don't release games.
Yeah, well, that they moved into more of the hardware and tech space, but also, like, the games that they do, I think it's so interesting. Like, even the Game Awards, for example, all those nominations were released. Not one of them actually had Half-Life Alyx, which I thought was so interesting because that is supposed to be like a game of the year.
Just because I think that the main thing that's taken into consideration is there is like the reach, like how many people have actually
played. Yeah, accessibility, of course, but is the award supposed to be for that kind of consideration? No, I would even argue that it's supposed to give you a wide. Give you a wide variety though of the different types of you gotta give credence to the other games in the space.
But you know where you will see Half-Life Alyx likely sweep stuff? The DICE Awards.
Yeah, but that's what I mean though. It's like
those are always the ones I'm more interested in what actually makes it up on stage, because those are the developer awards. Like
I know the Video Games Awards, like the even though this is gonna sound really shit, it's like the fucking People's Choice Awards of everything. It's
the Jeff Keighley's Friends Awards.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think you should always include it. I do think it's like I think it's not giving it enough credit or visibility.
Can we talk about the most baffling game that made it onto that list?
Yes.
Doom Eternal.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is what I'm talking about, though. Like, sure. Cool. If it's not an accessible game, don't put in Alyx. So what's going to be its replacement? Why the fuck? Why?
Every
game, I'm pretty sure, got more buzz.
Every conversation I had with anyone over the year about their time with Doom Eternal, including my own, was, like, lukewarm. Like, it was fine. It was not as good as the original. But it was fine.
And only the people ever really spoke highly, highly about it were the ones who were mega fans of the 2016 one, which makes sense.
I loved 2016, you know? But I walked away from Eternal being like, that was fine. It was
you said 2016. You told me to play just 2016 over that, actually, at the time, because I had it.
But yeah, Doom Eternal.
It's weird to me.
I just think that there were other games.
I'm glad Hades is on there.
I think
that's
going to
the
take
game of
a lot
the year
of awards,
to me,
and it should. It's a very unique 100%.
I feel like Ori and the Will of the Wisp got snubbed.
Yeah, it did. Especially for general art direction. I mean, it's beautiful.
Like, yeah, that game is fucking something else.
Well, this is why with all this. These awards and all this crap, it's like, if you're not gonna give awards to the games that, I'm not saying that Doom Eternal doesn't deserve
it's like the
I'm certainly not gonna nitpick that. It's
a shame when all you really see are games that don't need you to shout their name from the mountaintops.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it were my version, I would put Alyx, because I do want to shout that game from the mountaintop. Not just because it's a VR title, but because I think that it should be. Check it out. I mean, it's a game of technological achievement in VR, and even that, it looks beautiful. It's just a really great-looking game. It certainly topples over Doom Eternal,
absolutely,
in my opinion, just because it didn't do any. Like, I don't know. I didn't hear any buzz about that. Doom Eternal, to my perspective, didn't do anything different, which is not bad. It's just, that's what happened, you know? Animal Crossing is on there because at the time, it was a cultural phenomenon. You can't discredit that. I mean, for fuck's sake, what won last year? Was it Goose?
Goose won at DICE.
Yeah, like, games are just winning
on
impact.
Goose won at DICE, which makes sense. Which is why, that's where I think you'll see, I think Hades will sweep DICE, I think Half-Life Alyx will, mm-hmm. And I think you'll see games like Ori that got snubbed here taking awards at DICE.
Which, fine. I mean, do what they gotta do. But I don't know. That's why I really can't really give too much of a shit about the awards too much. Because it's just like, I don't know what thought goes into them, and it's not big enough. Video games aren't big enough yet to even have that kind of credibility where I'm like, oh, this is so heavily considered.
They're fun. They're growing. Than film or like that's just the thing. The amount of people that actually watch this thing, whether it's live or not, is astonishing. You remember when they were on Spike TV? Those were dark times.
Yeah, yeah.
The Game Awards, followed by the Man Show.
Yeah, the Man Show. And now G4 TV is coming back.
Yeah, did you see Rod Funches is hosting a G4 host reunion?
Yeah, which is okay. I loved Adam Sussler more than my brother. But yeah. With the awards too that are just coming up, it's kind of going to highlight different games for different things. I think Fallen Order got snubbed.
Yes,
or at least just from mention. I think it's so weird how all these.
It's one of those things where like I understand Fallen Order because it's probably so far from people's thoughts, But if you remember specifically, like last year, Keeley was like, "I bet you Fallen Order's on the list next year."
Yeah, that's literally why. That's actually literally what I was thinking about. Where I was, it was mentioned. Oh yeah, don't worry, it's gonna be eligible for next. And you know what? It absolutely will at that point. It's like you don't even hear about it anymore. They put like Doom over it, and you're just like, "Damn, man, we haven't had a good Star Wars game in so long, and you're gonna put this over Doom, which we already had a great game of."
Snubbed.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but I'm sure this is no different a conversation than if somebody was discussing the Emmys, the Grammys, or the Oscars. You know, there's always going to be things that are snubbed in some spaces, but I don't know. I'm just not impressed by the overall lineup of anything. It's just like, at this point, I have a feeling that some games are just going to win, and that's the way it's going to be. So, I don't know. See what happens next year, I guess. I hope Hades wins at least some things it deserves.
Me too. And these shows are always fun for, like, announcements and stuff, so...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm in it. I'm not even going to tune in. I'm just going to check who won at the end. Like some sort of deviant. Man. Yeah, I'm not even going to watch any of it. Forget it.
Set it and forget it.
I set it and forget it. But other than that, got to say, still working on the PS4 transfer.
That's it.
Still busting my hump. Still trying to put some data on the thing.
I think you
pain
can
in
do
my
it.
Ass. I have been. It's just a pain.
I don't doubt it. But I believe in you.
It's like, I try to everything. But anyways,
Go into the very brief drop. Wrapping up the rest of November, Out of Space Couch Edition hits PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on November 25th. Wow. Vigor hits PS4 on November 25th. And Made of Scare hits Switch on November 26th.
Holiday week, very
it's a
light.
Holiday season, yo.
It's a holiday in Cambodia.
It's a holiday in Cambodia.
I think the holiday season for like shopping is gonna be
it's
weird.
Gonna be strange.
You have so many things that are just in low availability right now. So I don't know how it's
Kohl's.
Gonna go. Yeah, see you online at Kohl's. Seriously, just the low key. I kind of dig that. I really do. I think that's hilarious. You just get it at Kohl's.
Didn't even know it was going to be an option, but...
Next, you're going to be able to find a PlayStation 5 bundle with a Series X at Bed Bath & Beyond.
It's in the Beyond section.
Yeah, it's always in the Beyond section, just because. But that's cool. I mean, as long as it's available for people, that's great. And I just don't think... I don't think anything... I'm just probably speaking out of turn. I don't think anything substantial is coming out.
Cyberpunk comes out...
Other
the same day.
I mean like other than
yeah,
the, one of
that's
the
pretty much
games.
It. Cyberpunk drops the same day as the Game Awards, actually. December 10th.
I'm more of a see it at this point than I'll believe
codes
it.
Are starting.
I don't think they're going to push it back.
No, codes are starting to go out. So.
Yeah, I think they already get fuzzed.
Keep your fingers crossed
times.
For me in that regard.
I mean, I will. I hope you get it. I don't even know what I have to do. I was supposed to get Ghost of Tsushima like a while ago too. It just never got around to it. I'll get it eventually when it gets
added
cheaper.
To that download.
Yeah, when it gets added to the PS Plus collection, I'll be like, yeah, this game's great because it'll just be a big rat for discounts. I don't think the Switch came out with the Hyrule.
Yes,
game,
that
yeah?
came out 2 days ago.
Did
it's
that
reviewing very
well.
People really like it. I will get around cool. to that eventually. I have every intention of getting around to that. Cause,
I mean, I'm just out here looking at, like, Katamari Damacy.
Fuck yeah, do it. That's the
time,
one.
Or just like any other lighter game where I'm just thinking, yeah, I'm good
with
this.
Yeah, re-rolls the bomb.
You want to know what astounds me? They keep releasing Kingdom Hearts, and they just won't stop.
Yeah, it just...
And I want them to, not because I can't. I don't have a pony in this race. I want it to stop.
Yeah,
it's just too much. But so far, it looks like there's at least a few games to keep everybody busy the holiday season, if they could even afford it. Because I know times aren't tough. But at the same time, I'm pretty excited for next year because
it won't be this year.
It won't be this year. That's it. I have no other inside knowledge.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for the best.
Yeah, I really just want to be a little different because I feel like everybody will get back on the horse,
so to speak,
at that point. But other than that, I don't think there's been any real groundbreaking news other than what you call
No, We pretty much hit all those hot notes, you know. Why all right, man.
That's it. When do you think the PS6 is going to come out?
Probably 2022. I'm
tired of this one already. You know, I actually just found out I'm supposed to put this thing on its base when you're standing it up. Did not do that. No, I mean, it's been fine. I'm going to do that after. But I looked at the stand when I unboxed it. I went, well, I don't need this shit.
Yeah,
and I just put it in like a drawer because I was like, this is for horizontal. It's
designed to be used both ways.
That means it's going to be at least a few inches higher. I don't know how I feel about that. This thing's already a towering
I've
got to
clear some space for the old girl.
I don't want to do it again. We'll see what happens here. I think I have to do it.
I'm actually really concerned about where the fuck I'm going to put this thing on my desk.
I'm not even kidding. It's huge. You've seen it. It's huge. I don't know. I've had to I've reorganized my entire like entertainment center because around this thing.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Ridiculous.
You can't put it in a catalog shelf horizontally. It's too long. Stand it up. It's almost as hard.
Also, like, TV. Putting it horizontal, it's such a weird... Like, you can't put anything on top of that, so...
Also, I just want to say, I took a silent pride because, you know what? When I hang up my TVs, I don't do it directly at, like, eye level. I put it up a little bit more... I put it with a little bit more elevation to it. I hang it up just a little bit higher. And I've seen so many designs... or interior designs of just the TVs being right there or just on the stand. Well, look who's laughing now. Because if I had put this thing on the stand or if I put it at eye level like you did and I put a PlayStation 5 next to it, it would block everything. It
sure would. Yeah, I mean, the shame is like the PS4 I put horizontal, but one of my monitors is on top of it.
This is what I'm talking about. It's like they didn't even care. And they shrunk this down. This is supposed to be a smaller version.
Fucking art museum.
This is what I'm talking about. And what I'm really curious to see over the years is what's a pro version going to look like of this where they just shrink it
somehow?
Well, because the PlayStation 4 Pro, they just added another layer of the
Pro's the wafer. A handheld somehow.
I just don't know. I don't know what they're going to do about it, but whatever. And on the Xbox Series X front, I heard it's doing well. So,
I
heard you can play your
I heard you can vape into it.
You know... Really quick, too, because I was reading something the other day about just the general backwards compatibility with PlayStation. They were like, hey, you want to know what kind of sucks about the PS5? And this is something everybody's always wanted, even me. You can go back in the archives, you'll find me saying it. People were really expecting that backwards compatibility would be a thing for PlayStation 1 through all that. And the more I thought about it, the more I sat here looking at it, considering it, I don't think I would have used it one time for its backward compatibility all the way back to a PlayStation. I would have. Unless they gave it to you digitally like they did for the PS3.
Oh, I think it would have been foolhardy to not put a digital library up.
I think they will in time. I think they're going to replicate it. I don't know why. I forgot why. It was, again, PS3 tech.
Yeah, I think they're now seeing the value in that. So.
Yeah, because now this is the one thing that the Series X has over it. I think it's really cool that you can quick resume Xbox games.
Oh, it's super cool.
You play like Fusion Frenzy and like Hyperspeed, which is insane to me. But I don't know how much I would have actually used it over time. It's just more of a nice to have, I guess, in long term.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope they keep doing it. I hope the next iteration of anything. Watch me. We're going to be saying this about like the PlayStation 10. Like, yeah, I hope the 11. I hope it has backwards compatibility for all the other ones.
PS2 games on it.
Yeah, so I can play Fusion Frenzy 3 because they'll revitalize it eventually, and it'll be a big hit during the PS6 era.
Which will be the golden age, as we all know.
Yes, of course. I'm waiting for them to release a console that is literally just the numerical number, like a 6 in the shape of it.
Oh, God, they should do that with the 8.
That's what I'm saying. And Xbox, I've always been waiting, because they've always had those meme machines that were just an X. I was always
there was a
that.
Big X across the top of the original Xbox.
I remember the what was it, the PlayStation design that just looked like it was a space station.
That was
I
the
forgot what it was.
Faux like, PS3 one with the boomerang controllers.
Oh yeah, that was gonna be it. I remember when I saw that when I was younger, I was thinking, "Holy shit, this is the next generation." this controller is not suitable for any human being.
This is the future.
But we're gonna go there. Yeah,
part of it goes in your mouth.
Well, that's why I used to give Nintendo such respect, because they gave you the N64 controller and you're like, I don't even know what the fuck. Like, we didn't even test this. We're going to let you guys figure this out.
Reminded me by saying Nintendo. So before we go housekeeping, I want to give a big shout out to Nintendo for in the latest patch for the Super Mario 3D All-Stars collection. Super Mario Sunshine now supports GameCube controllers. Yes, it does.
Does it really?
If you have that...
I didn't even know it did before. Do none of them support this?
Just
or is
Sunshine,
just Sunshine?
If you have the adapter...
That's so
well,
weird
no, no, it
to
makes
me.
It,
why would I just
you want
make
those
it
analog
all?
Triggers, baby.
Yeah, but like, why can't you just make it compatible also with 64?
I don't know.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, it's weird to me. Like, cool, but why not just do it for the N64
Fuck
game,
you,
too?
That's why.
Yeah, essentially. And I actually would respect them a hell of a lot more if they just came out and said that. And they're just like, yeah, you know, we didn't want to... We're just going to package this again in a year.
Doug Bowser on the show today. How you doing, boys? Fuck you, Eric.
He just dials in. And he just goes, hey, I just want to let you know, yeah. You know, it didn't come to us at additional cost. We just didn't want
to. I know. It actually would have been easier and cheaper for us to do it.
Yeah, and you want to know what... And actually, the request landed on my desk, Doug Bowser. And you want to know what I said? No.
I said, fuck them.
And also, no Christmas bonuses this year. Very rude. Very rude CEO.
All yeah.
But that's nice, I guess. I guess you can play it now. Sunshine's pretty notable for weird controls, so I'm glad the GameCube could be used for it.
Hooray.
Hooray. Hip, hip, hooray. How's Pikmin going, Nintendo?
Pikmin, please, not well.
Shall
I roll
us
into housekeeping, then? Let's sweep up.
Let's do it.
Thanks to Heather Ramos for our lovely logo and Ed Biquette for our wonderful intro. Ask us questions, geckogamespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter. I am @TheRichMeister0 and you are beautiful_Eric. It has been a pleasure. Have a happy, happy gobble turkey. And we'll see you next time.
Happy gobble.
Happy gobble. 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 Gobble.